Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this hour. Speak through my mouth, Lord, and bless all of us. Let your name, Lord, be glorified. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 10, give me verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Another way to put it is to say, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. That is, repeatedly hearing will build up your faith. Praise the Lord. I was meditating on what should I exhort today, and the Lord said, the message he gave to me to preach, I said, well, I've preached that several times. He said, preach it again. I said, faith coming by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Praise the Lord. John chapter 8, verse 51. Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 51. He said, faith coming by hearing and hearing. Keep on hearing it. And that's how the faith comes and you get established in the faith. If you go through this chapter of John chapter 8, you will see the debate that was going on between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Jews. And it came to this point, he threw this one in. Looked like he just draw it out and throw it in because it doesn't look like it flows with what they were debating, what they were talking about. But he wanted to tell them who he is. So he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. They already told him right to his face in the earlier verses and said, you are a Samaritan and you have a devil. I mean, they were telling the Lord Jesus Christ, they were accusing him that he has a devil. That was the Jews that didn't believe. He said, I don't have a devil. He said, but I am not my father. I'm you, the son of me. Then he told this one in that if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And they said, aha, now we know you have a devil. Verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead. And the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Verse 53. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who makest thou thyself? Who makest thou thyself? And the Lord Jesus did not reverse what he said. Verse 54. See, if I not honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. So what was he trying to tell him? If a man, now he said a man, it's not individual. There is what we call general benefits. General benefits. There is what we call privilege. Let me give you an analogy. I presented it like this in some radio broadcast. In the world right now, if you are a citizen of America, you are born in this country, you go to grade school free of charge, you go to high school free of charge. Not so. But in the process of education, there is what they call national merits and so on. Now, that is now qualification. All of them went to high school, and all of them are good students, but there came a time they're going to do some examinations. And there's what they call PSAT, SAT, PSAT. And then those who are top-notch like this, they said, you are now in the what they call National Meritorious Scholars. They're qualifying for something. They were all our U.S. citizens, or they were all born, they were all going to high school. Then after a while, they went through an SAT, and they said, well, you are in this percentile, you actually qualify for National Merit, they call it finalists. They're going to get scholarship. So you can see the same. Now, if those who get those scholarships, they are privileged few out of the myriads that are in the high schools in the college, in the country. So this is what the Lord is trying to make you to see. If a man, it's not a generally given promise, it's not everybody. He said, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Well, the general one is in John chapter 6. He has given to everybody in John chapter 6. That's why I'm trying to go slowly here, because many people scratch their head when we preach this. They say, well, Brother Julio, are you saying Peter, James, John, Apostle Paul, you are saying they did not keep his saying and they were all dead physically? Jesus Christ gave a general promise, but he said, if a man keep my saying, keep my saying, he is going to decide. Who is going to decide if he is keep his saying? Tell me, who is going to decide? Jesus, amen? Who is going to decide whether you are keeping his saying? Jesus. But he said, he gave a general promise to everybody that is general for everybody. That if it's the Lord that's going to decide, then it has to be by his own choice, by his own election, by his own predestination, and whatever it is, he's going to decide. But this is the general promise to everybody, John chapter 6. Here he was telling the people that anyone that believes in him, he will raise them up at the last day. John chapter 6. Give me John chapter 6. And let's read some few verses, say verse 40 something, let's see. Give me John chapter 6, verse, let's start from verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. Give me verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's almost like everybody. Don't you almost like that's everybody that comes to him. I will raise him up at the last day. That's the resurrection of the just, of the believers. And he repeated that over and over in this chapter, almost 3-4 times, that I will raise him up at the last day. I will raise him up. Anyone that believes in the Lord, that is a general promise. But now in John chapter 8, verse 1, it says, if a man, individual now, keep my saying, he shall never see it. So that is the point I'm trying to make you to first see, that this is not a general promise, it is an individual. Take for example, we know the story of Elijah the prophet. Not so. Elijah the prophet. According to the story in 2 Kings chapter 1, he was taken out of this planet without seeing physical death. Not so. But Elisha, the prophet that followed after him, was following him when he was to be taken up. And you can think of Elisha was saying, well, if I can just get double portion of what this man got, everything will be possible. So at the point, Elijah told him, ask whatever you want before I'm taken away from you. He said, well, I pray, let the double portion of your anointing come upon me. Elijah said, well, that's tough. He said, well, if you see me when I'm going, when I'm taken away, then it will be so with you. And we know he saw him going up, so we know he got his double portion. So it's not by anointing. That's what I'm trying to say. Why didn't Elisha now also go away in that translation? Not by anointing. It is by election. That's what I'm trying to put. So, well, this man has a more anointing than this guy. He might. But he didn't go away in the translation. He died. Elisha, the prophet, died. But Elijah that was taken up, it was by God's plan and predestination. So that is what I want to first point out, that when the Bible said, Christ has given us that promise, if a man keep my saying, shall never see that it is the Lord that decides who is keeping his saying, whom he is giving that to, but he has given the general promise to everyone that will come unto him. Praise the Lord. Now you can say, well, what can I do to get that privilege? What can I do? He has given it to you. If a man keep my saying, then you then talk to him, Lord, let me be able to keep your saying. Then let me know the sayings. give me to the level that I can be keeping your sayings. And say, you will never see it. So that is the first thing. And you can see here, I mentioned it again in John chapter 11. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to raise up Lazarus, John chapter 11, verse 25, you will see the discussion between the Lord and Martha, the sister of Lazarus. And Martha said, well, if you had been here, my brother would not have died because they believe in healing. They believe that Jesus Christ can heal, and Jesus Christ has been healing the people before that time. Maybe they have heard that he raised the dead, but they were not sure that this boy was going to be raised that same day. They didn't know about that. But he said, I know even now, whatever you ask God, he will give it to you. They have that confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, your brother will rise up again. So I know about that also. I know about the resurrection of the last day because these were Pharisees. They already taught them that. And now Jesus Christ wanted to point to him whom he really is. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. What does that really mean? He said, the resurrection we are all waiting for at the end that he was promising to everybody. He said, he is that resurrection that is going to make it happen. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that is going to make it happen. Then he said, and the life, two things. Can you turn off that, please? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, that is the resurrection part. If you believe, say, though you are dead physically, you shall live, because he's going to raise them. He has already said in chapter 6 that I will raise them up at the last day. I will raise them up at the last day. But he didn't stop there. If he stopped right there in verse 25, where he was just confirming what Martha said, because Martha believed that it's going to happen in the end, because the Pharisees were already teaching that. But Jesus Christ came to tell them more. And by this time, he's telling them this is individual now. Verse 26. And whosoever, now look at that, whosoever is bringing to any individual person. Whosoever liveth and believe in me shall never die. But that clause is the last part that people have missed. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? That is the question. It is now individual. Do you believe that? And you can see Martha couldn't swallow. He said, well, I believe you are the Messiah. Well, that's good. That's exactly what the woman said. Verse 27. She said unto him, yeah, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ. That's like saying, this is how much we believe in our denomination. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Well, that was a profession of their faith. The Christ is saying, believe thou this, the last thing he just said. And if you believe and you live, you shall never die. Well, they never had that before. So he said, I believe you are the Christ. The Son of God has come. So that is more to make you to see that the Lord came when he was pointing that one. I was saying he can keep anybody alive. That we believe. That we keep his saying. Because those two things, believing is one thing. Keeping his sayings is the other thing. So what is the saying we are talking about? I've been on the radio preaching one of some of these things about the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. This that has been written, it's called the written word of God. Written word of God. You must first keep those sayings of the Lord. Keep those sayings that were written down for us. The life that we are to live. But now, when you are doing this, then you are a candidate. Candidate for the spoken word. Where now he comes to you. And he guides you and he leads you and he speak to you and direct your life and direct your path, keeping his saying. See, when there is pandemic in the land, the great physician will come to you and say, you do this. And then you will be escaping that pandemic. There is trouble in the land. The great physician will tell you that you do this. That is his saying that you must keep. And it has to be you walking with him. But that's what the Bible meant when it told us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5, where it says, Enoch walked with God. Walking means you are toe-to-toe with somebody, talking, and he's talking back to you. Enoch walked with God. And then he was not, for God took him. That is, you have to walk with this Jesus, who is the Lord, and he's going to be telling you what to do as you pass on the way. That is what the Lord is saying when he says, if a man keep my saying, but you first must be following these sayings, then you are a candidate for the other spoken word of God. Let me go now and talk to you about some of the ways you will get into the veil. 2 Peter chapter 1, the Lord just pointed to go straight to that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 to 11. I say, keep his saying is what he is going to use to make you get that immortality before the end. If you're going to get that immortality, you see, God, he only has immortality. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said he's able to keep you and me alive if you will believe it, if you will keep his saying. It is not a general promise. I'm trying to make it clearer. It is a privilege few. Someone said, well, I don't think I want to waste my time trying to pursue that. They say, as we pursue him, what did God say? You shall find me when you do what? When you search for me with all of your heart. So then shall you find him. See, when you are pursuing him, even if you say, well, gee, somebody said, well, I don't think I want to pursue that. That's way too high. Many people, when they got this message, they are already old and their body is already going to the grave by old age. This won't make any sense to them. They wanted to go home. So this won't make any sense to them. That's why Christ was not preaching it to everybody. But it's a promise he has given to everyone, just like salvation. He said, whosoever will. Those who are already getting old in age, they don't want to hear, they say they'd rather go. Because anybody dies on this planet, unless it's accident and those type of things. If you are a saint of God, you have a say. You have a say in when you want to leave this planet. Because it's not God that is killing us. It is not the Lord that is taking anybody. It's a bad war. When people say, oh, the Lord took that person away. No, the Lord didn't take anybody away. The Lord did not take anybody away. It is Satan that is causing every physical death. That's why the Bible said the last enemy that shall be destroyed, if he is not enemy, God won't call it an enemy. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's the physical death. Because oh, well, he's talking about physical death. Oh, he's talking about spiritual death. Oh, he's talking about physical death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So if it's the enemy, so it's not God that is sending the enemy against us. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So what I'm trying to say, any believer that walk with the Lord and you please the Lord, he promised, even the Jews, he promised them that they will live their life, they will live their days. With long life will I satisfy you and do what? And show you my salvation. That is a promise for even the Old Testament believers. That's the promise for the Old Testament believers. So everyone that are following the Lord is you are expected to live the length of your days. And you say, what's the length of my days? It's 70 years. So I was talking to a brother one time. He said, now, brother, he said he's already 70 years, so he's ready to go now. I said, what do you mean where you want to go? He said, if the Lord wants. I said, are you talking of rapture? Are you talking of he wanted to die? I said, why? The Lord didn't say he's 70. It is David that was lamenting in the book of Psalms. People now think, oh, God has given us. The last thing the Bible said is Genesis, chapter 6, where God said to Moses or to Noah, Moses wrote it down, that I will give them 120 years. That was what the last thing. When you get to the book of Psalms, and go and look at that Psalm, David was more or less lamenting that the number of our days is 70, 70 years and 10. If by reason of strength, maybe 80, he said, then it's labor and sorrow. They were lamenting because things have gone so bad in their generation. So many people now think, oh, it's 70, 80, where you have fulfilled your days up to now. No. Moses wrote down 120 years. That's why Moses, at the end of 120 years, he left. And many of those generations. But see, what the Lord says is not the Lord has taken anybody. You have to say you want to go. There was a minister that had an accident many years ago in this country. And in that accident, maybe he was really fed up, he wanted to go. His son came and told him, Dad, speak the word, because this is a man of faith. That brother refused to speak the word. But he wanted to go. And then he left, he went. That was what is happening in many places. Many people, after they have grown old, they wanted to go depart and be with the Lord, which is also good. Nothing wrong with it. But this privilege that we are talking about is a privilege. And if you pursue after him, he will show you what you can do. Because he say you are going to pursue. He say if you search for me with all of your heart, then shall you find me. So that's put that one aside. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Because we said listening to him, hearing him, and talking to the Lord. And here is what Peter wrote down for us. Verse 3. Let me start from verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Like I said, you are going to hear him. You are going to walk with the Lord as you are walking with the Lord. But who and who is he calling? I see the first step is escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. That is the first thing. And that is what it means we are born again. Escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. But that's not over yet. This is what Apostle Paul continued to say. Verse 5. And besides this, that you have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, you have to add this to your faith. And besides this, give it all diligence. That is, diligently do this. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. Remember, knowledge, very essential, because when you go back and back again, you see it is the knowledge of the Son of God. Remember, I'm trying to underline that knowledge. I'm going to come back to it. Because he said, you add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity or love. That's the cap of it all. Verse 8 says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, you see that again, knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me quickly point that to you again. I come back to that, Peter. Let me point to you again in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. The goal that God said we all believers are to get to. In Ephesians chapter 4, when he gave apostles and apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers as gifts to the church, to the body of Christ. For verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. I'm trying to underscore that knowledge. That what we are trying to get to, we want to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, which he said here. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So how do you get to that measure of the stature of fullness? What does that really mean? Measure of the fullness of Christ. He said it is the knowledge of the Son of God. And what did Lord Jesus say in his own prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 17? I'm not digressing, I'm more or less painting or beautifying what I'm talking about. In Gospel of John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ's final prayer, verse 3, I start from verse 2. This is the Lord Jesus Christ praying when he said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to all that you have given to him. Verse 3 is what I'm going. And this is life eternal. That's what I'm trying to point to you. I'm underlining that verse 3. This is life eternal. What is this eternal life? That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. So it is the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the Father God that he's saying is eternal life. So how are we going to get this thing? It is knowledge of Christ. You say, well, I thought I already know Christ. No, you only know part of him. It's to reveal more and more and more and more to you individually. And that is the knowledge that is going to make us become fullness of the stature of Christ. And that is really what I'm pointing out here when I pointed out knowledge is what he said. Go back to 2 Peter again. And what is that going to get us? According to 2 Peter chapter 1 we are reading. Verse 9 said, but he that lacketh these things. What things? Those things he mentioned to add to your faith. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, which is charity. Verse 9 says, if you lack these things, you are blind and cannot see afar off. And has forgotten that you are purged from your old sins. Verse 10 says, wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. That's where I'm going. If you do these things, say ye shall never fall. Fall from what? Fall from grace. If you do all those things, he said, add to your faith. He said, I believe Christ, but add all those 10 things or 8 things that he listed. You have to keep on to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge of Christ, he mentioned it. It's a knowledge. Not knowledge of science, not knowledge of this. It's the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you seek him more and you get more, you know more. And how do you know more? That's why we are studying. That's why we are studying the scripture. That's why we are open yourself to more reading of the word of God. Even our the apostles. Apostle Paul said, bring me those parchments. The Apostle Paul is still reading. Bring me those parchments. Because it's when you open it up and you are reading that more understanding just came to you. Ah, I didn't see that before. That's why I say faith coming by hearing and hearing and hearing. And hearing. Praise the Lord. So when you want to say, I want the knowledge, you say, oh, I've heard that before. No, you have not heard it. You have not heard it enough yet. Praise the Lord. So that is, and then verse 11 is where I'm actually trying to go to. He said, those who will never fall, as verse 10 told us, if you do all these things, you shall never fall. God is looking at you. Everybody's running the race. He said, well, these guys over here that have crossed this line, they have passed the line of Rubicon. There's something they call line of Rubicon in English in those days. So everybody's running a race, but they draw a line and say, well, those that pass this, they shall never fall. It's looking at them. Some are playing on the road. So they say, when those that have passed that line of Rubicon, they shall never fall. And then Apostle Peter said, for so an entrance, those who will never fall, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus. You mean you have not entered yet? Christ says, strive to enter in. Strive to enter in. So don't think we already got it. Even Apostle Paul, that was the chiefest apostle, that things were happening in his life and he wrote some of these books, he said, I press for the mark, towards the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Put that up. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. From verse 13, he said, forgetting those things which are behind. He said, I count not myself. His apostle Paul said, you don't count yourself as I've apprehended this. He said, no, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When did he write this? When he just got born again? No. He was writing this to the what? To the Philippians. So he has been a minister, he has been doing great things. Great things have happened through his ministry. And he said, forget those things, I'm pressing toward a mark. And he will say that I may even partake of that resurrection. He could call himself say that he may even partake of the resurrection. Not the resurrection, because there's a line God has drawn. Everybody run. But those past this line, they shall never fall. Then an entrance will be ministered to you into the everlasting kingdom of our God. That's deep. I will leave it as that. But that's really what the Lord is telling me to tell you, so that you can see that we are to keep pressing on. Praise the Lord. Keep seeking more of him. Keep wanting to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if you search for me, you shall find me. When you search for me with all of your heart. Praise the Lord. And like I was saying, let me just quickly give you some points about when we say, the Lord said, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see it. Well, the devil will challenge that. Any man that wants to keep his saying, you don't think enough just went, just march into glory like that. No, it's not that easy. The devil will challenge it. They say, but he walking with God, we give him all the victory because Christ has already said it is finished at the cross in our own case. So, but what I'm trying to say is, you have to know that it's a race that you are running. And when somebody is as you, if they say you have been doing this thing, you are growing old. God also has the power to keep us from aging. He has the power to keep us from aging. I preached on this almost 100. I said, look, the aging process is a progression to death. Don't you know that in the world? The aging process is a progression to death, to physical death. But if God says he can keep you from never seeing death, of course, then he can reverse that aging process or stop it for you. You never think of that. But faith comes by hearing. But you have to exercise your faith in all these things. And then we say, well, you cannot beat that aging process. Well, you can beat it. Why? Because the Lord said, give me Joel, the prophecy of Joel. Chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Let's see what it says in verse 25. God said, I will restore to you the years. That's a restoration. That the locust has eaten. The cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. Look at the last passage. My great army, which I sent among you. Now, this was written almost like, he was talking to the Jews, to the Israelites, about these animals called locusts. No, God was talking beyond the animals, the locusts that are physical. He said, my great army that I sent among you. Do you know these demons, sicknesses? Who created all these things? Viruses. The scientists were looking at them and saying, they described them. Viruses, pathogens. Where did they come from? Who created them? Why are they disturbing mankind? God created these things. He goes, my great army that I sent among you. So God can call them back also. He can call them back. So then, if you walk with this great Jehovah, if a man keep my saying, you shall never see death. If you walk with this Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has authority over, he says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, unto Jesus. Then he can say, don't touch this one. Or he can call them, look at another thing. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. What did the Lord say there? From verse 16. Give me verse 16 first. God said, behold, I have created a smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. What does that mean? He's talking about these weapons. They say these people have AK-47. No, they are just shooting people in the streets. AK-47. But who make those AK-47? Some human beings. Those are the smith, silversmith, goldsmith. All those smith. That's what he called. That's what he was using. He said, I have created a smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created a waster to destroy. God didn't send him to go and destroy, but they are taking their weapons and destroying. Now, verse 17 says what? Now, God is swearing by himself. No weapon that is formed against thee. Now, this is a promise that you have to claim. Individual person can claim and walk with this faith. So, no weapon. That means the weapons, even those blacksmith, goldsmith, the NFA, whatever it is, the Rifle Association, whatever they call it, National Rifle Association, NRA, or whoever is making the, say, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every song, that's only, not just the weapons, even sometimes the words can hit more than things. See, the Bible said there's one that smited, the words that smited more than a fist. So even the tongue, like the devil accusing the believers, say no way. Every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Who are these promises for? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And the devil can say, well, you are not righteous. Say, their righteousness is of me, said the Lord. Amen. So then if God that has promised this is saying, if you walk with me, if you keep my saying, you shall never see that. You've got to believe it. You've got to walk with him with that faith and say, Lord, I want to walk with you. Tell me what to do, and I'm going to do it. But sometimes when he tells you, it may not gear with your flesh. When he tells you what to do sometimes, it may not gear with your friends. Your flesh, your friends, your neighbors. So you may become strange. Strange. So that's why it is a one man, one journey thing. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see them. So I'm pointing all of those out to make you to see that God has promised this, he can make that. He said that I created a smith. If you call the number of the smith that make that AK-47, then the AK-47 never exists. I don't think you get what I said. He said, I created a smith. Well, he said, the smith already done his work. The man has got the AK-47, he's going to say, but if he called the number of the smith, well, that man is dead, we say he can reverse things. And the AK-47 never existed, so you never get hit. The Lord that we are dealing with is almighty. He said, he has seen the end from the beginning. So if he says these things, that if a man keep my saying, he shall never see that, he's able to do it. And it's looking for who among you shall I teach knowledge? Who among you shall I teach wisdom? Because everybody has been sold to the stream of death, physical death. I use an analogy. I said, when Adam sinned, it's like when you break a bottle, a keg of DNA, splash on the floor. And the DNA is like a flowing stream, flow this way, scatter this way, flashes this way. There's a flowing of stream of people that are just dying because of the curse of another. There's a flowing of these people that are just going to physical grave. And there's another flowing of those that we inherit immortality. Because Adam had immortality before that thing happened. But now it's broken. And then you have to now inherit. What are you going to inherit? Are you inheriting the stream of those who are going to die young? or the stream of those who may have longevity. Yeah, they have longevity, 120, 130. Or there's a stream of immortality. And I say, well, I want to follow that stream of immortality. Because even among the sons of Adam was Enoch. That suddenly got that immortality and disappeared. Because he did not see that, because he was inheriting that immortality stream. And I'm saying, Christ is saying, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see that. And let me go one more step further and say that even when you have all of this faith, and you have all of these blessings, and you have all of this walking with the Lord, there is some important things that you must know. And he said, incline your ear unto God's word. Incline your ear unto God's word. It's very important that you must know. And that is, he said, if a man keep my saying, shall never see death. Remember? He also said, Enoch, walk with God. Walk with God. He walked with God. Enoch walked with God. But to walk with him, to walk with the Almighty God, because God said, I am the high and lofty God that inhabited eternity. But also he said, and I dwell with the lowly and contrite in heart. Remember that. And so then you need that humility. Praise the Lord. You need that humility. Especially in the line of following the Lord, you need complete humility to be like Jesus. Let me give you a story before I wrap it up. The story of a king called Uzziah. Second Chronicles chapter 26. As we summarize this particular exhortation. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Uzziah was the king of Judah. And give me verse 3. You see what Uzziah was said. He became king at the age of 16. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And they mention his mother's name. Now, you can read. Give me again verse 8 of it. So that you see that Uzziah was somebody that followed the Lord. He was promoted by God. Even the Ammonites were bringing gifts to him. And so on and so forth. So you can see that he was great. Give me verse 16. I'm talking about the problem that Uzziah ran into. Uzziah was one of them, you can say, a very good king that followed the Lord and was like the right-hand man of God, bringing revival and then doing everything right. That was the story of Uzziah. Until when he was strong, verse 16. When he was strong, the Bible says his heart was lifted up to his destruction. That is what we need to worry, be careful about. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. What did he do? This is what he did. And he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Oh, what's wrong with that? Ha ha. If you know your scriptures, you know that the king has his own position. The priests have their own position. And the prophets have their own position. And when you look at even in the letters, in the prophecies of Joel that I just read, when you go further into another section, it said, they shall march everyone in their path. They shall not cross rank. You don't cross over. You step on somebody's toes. Everybody march in their line. Humility is very important, because if you don't have that humility, very soon you'll be taking the authority that belongs to Jesus. You'll be stepping on somebody else's toes. But Uzziah, he was well favored by God. Things were happening. He was the king. And he felt perhaps he should also be able to do burn incense on the altar. And let's read on. Verse 17. And Azariah the priest went in after him. And with him, 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. What was going on in their generation? There could have been some argument, some pride, raising up from the king and his entourage. Don't think the king just went there by himself alone. He must have gone with some of his servants also. To the temple, said, I can do that also. Because, look, I pray to the Lord, I do this, and the Lord is showing this. God can be showing signs and wonders to you, or you think, oh, I'm great, I'm a great man of God. No. There's a line you don't cross. And this is what Uzziah did. He went to the temple to burn incense, which only the priest should be burning. And he was the king. And the priests, for them to confront him like that in the temple means there have been some rock-up between them. And for the high priest to come with several priests, that is a valiant man. What do you mean by valiant? I mean, they wanted to fight him. So which means Azariah didn't come by alone. If it's just one person, he could have changed, drop it, Azariah. No, he must have come with some of his servants. So something was going on. But what we are saying is he went to the temple of God to burn incense. And they told him that it pertaineth not to thee, Azariah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, is their command to him, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thy honor for the Lord from the Lord God. Now the same the Lord God that we say he was so close to the Lord, he was doing all those things right, and God was blessing him. He was now strong. Now you remember he started to be king at the age of 16. When this happened, he could have been now 50-year-old. He could have been 50-year-old by this time. But with all the resume of getting everything he wanted from the Lord, he is trespassed by going beyond his bound. And what happened? The next verse 19. Then as Uzziah was wrought, that was really where he made the mistake. So which means he did not go there by mistake. If you do an honest mistake, let's say you are not the one that should be picking up the money from the offering or the basket, and you decide to do it because of whatever it was, and somebody challenged you. If it's a mistake, oh, I'm sorry. You left it. No, he got angry with them. So that means something else was dictating what he did. He said, as Uzziah was wrath, and he had his censer in his hand to burn incense, while he was wrought with the priests, leprosy rose up upon him. Who's smoking with leprosy? The same, the Lord God that we say he was so close to the Lord. The Lord smote him with leprosy. That is what we are seeing. Because what happened to the sister of Moses? The sister of Moses, big sister of Moses in the wilderness. They were having a debate about Moses, you know, marry this woman, and Moses was saying, well, the Lord allowed me. No, we are older than you. We are this, we are that. And with that, the sister of Moses got Aaron on his side. Aaron is also older than Moses. And they challenged Moses. And God spoke and said, three of you, come over here. They all heard the words of the Lord. They came before the Lord. The Lord didn't talk to Aaron. He talked to the woman, that elder sister. And immediately after, the Lord spoke to her and said, why are you challenging my servant? He didn't say your sister, he didn't say your brother, my servant. But if that turned back, leprosy fell upon that woman. Moses had to cry unto God, you see, because he didn't want this type of thing to happen to his sister either. So you see, what I'm saying then is, what makes that happen? You have to be careful. We want that humility when we want to walk with the Almighty God, is what I'm saying. This guy, this is what happened to him. The Bible says he became leprous from that day forward till the day of his death. That was the king that had a good report of following the Lord and serving the Lord, and he was promoted, he got great. But let's see whom we should emulate, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we should emulate. Amen? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. That is the one, the perfect Lamb of God, that we should all emulate to be like him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you after you say, I want to climb, I want to be great, I want to be one of the elect, I want to be one of the privileged few, and you are progressing. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. If you don't understand that sentence, maybe you need the, what they call, amplified version of the Bible. But let's read on. He said, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That's what we want to be like. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We want to be like our Lord Jesus Christ in complete surrender to humility. Verse 9. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, verse 10, at the name of Jesus, every name should bow of things in heaven and things in earth. And that every tongue should confess and things under the earth. The next verse. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now that is the one we want to emulate, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our humility. Because after he said you are going to walk with him, if a man keep my sayings, shall never see death. You want to walk with him, you will need this cloak of humility. And you can begin to think on this direction. I brought in the story of this of the sister of Moses because it's really essential for big sisters, even wives, to be careful how you communicate with the servants of the Lord, with your spouse. Because it can begin to be from humility, pride comes in on that direction. And also between one another, because it is very important that we walk in that humility to be classified as God wants, to be qualified, to be one of those people who say, this is walking with me and he's keeping my saying. The saying of the Lord is, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. That is the summary of this immortality that we are talking about. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10 already told us that Christ has abolished this death that is plaguing mankind, the physical death, the spiritual death, both death, physical and spiritual. Christ has already abolished it. But what does that mean? If he abolished it, why are we not all getting it? The same thing with spiritual death. Think about spiritual death, which is the going to hell, lake of fire. Christ has abolished it, but thousands are still going to hell because they did not receive him. They did not believe him. So, the spiritual death that he has abolished, myriads are still going to hell, not taking it, not getting it. And they are going to hell because they refuse to accept the faith of Christ, or they didn't follow through. The same way with the physical death, he has abolished it, but it's going to be by walking with him. It's going to be by election. It's going to be by faith in his word. But he said, it's manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. So I know somebody told me that that's only talking about spiritual idea. I said, well, life and immortality. So immortality only needed by mortal men. Immortality is only needed by mortal men. That's why they call us mortal men. Because human beings go to the grave. That's why they call us mortal men. But what the Bible, that verse is saying that it only just brought life, eternal life. He actually brought immortality to light. But who is going to take it? Come unto me, he said, you can take it. That is where we're going to wrap it up. He's calling you and me that you can begin to exercise your faith and pursue him. Pursue Christ to get this thing from him. Because he said, I say it's for the privileged few. But if you pursue him, say, you shall find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Moses, I also mentioned something, Moses, when he was 130 years old, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7. I said, the Lord can stop the aging process for us. He can reverse it. He can call those smiths. He can call those, my great army that I said among you, he can call them off for individual person or for your own nation. He can reverse the aging process. Look at what I was written about Moses. 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. The Lord God that did that to him, that gave a reversal of his aging process, is still the same God that we are serving, that we are following. And it's the same God that said, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. He said, well, oh, Brother Julius, I've gone through this. I'm so weak now. My body is almost going to the grave. You think God can reverse that? He can. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Somebody I sent many years ago a pamphlet that talked about this to a minister, and the Lord showed to me in a vision. The Lord showed to me in a vision. Because I just sent it by, I saw the mailing address of this minister in America, sent him those earlier verse Bible pamphlets that I wrote about Christ as apologist. And the Lord showed to me in a vision that this minister picked up that literature, which means he received it. In the vision, I saw him open it up and just toss it away. He doesn't believe it. Or he preferred to go that way. And the minister I'm talking about is pastor right now. If a man keep my... Why did Lord show me in that vision? To make me see that he's what I told him to preach. He said, well, Lord, nobody will believe this thing. He said, keep on preaching it. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. And like I said, you go to walk with the Ancient of Days to receive this. Stand to your feet. You are going to walk with the Ancient of Days to be able to qualify for this. And he walketh with those that are lowly and contrite in heart, to revive the spirit of the lowly and the contrite ones. That's what the Lord God said in his word. So talk to him yourself. Just talk to him. Talk to him. So how are the kanda bashida rikanda rehopa tada? Come talk. Talk to him in the spirit also. So how the kanda the hopa dishita how the yare kanda ba hopa dishita the yare kanda pare. How the kanda bashida? I say, don't take this thing lightly. If you push aside, you just choose death. See, it's a life and death thing. If somebody pushes aside, I don't believe that means you are choosing to go through the other side, through the grave. But if you choose this, pursue him, see whether you cannot get it. Somebody said, well, if I'm believing for 2 million and I can't get 2 million, I get 1 million, I say, at least I'm okay. But if you don't go pursue 2 million, you are not even pursuing $1,000. So use your faith, believe for the impossible, and God is able to give you the impossible, because he is the one that said it, not Brother Julius. Don't say Brother Julius said it. No, Brother Julius cannot give you this. It is Jesus that gives this. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. So the kanda bahora the shit that you come but the pray to him. Just talk to the Lord right now yourself. Talk to the Lord, whichever one you choose. Like I said, nobody, God is not killing any believer or any seed, any human being. He's not the one killing us. It is Satan that is killing mankind. The thief called meant to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's Satan. Christ said, I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. So Christ has come to give us life, not death. The why believers are still dying. It is Satan that is doing it. But God has promised a general promise for everybody. I will raise them up at the last day. But he said that in the rapture, Apostle Paul said, we that are alive and remain till that day, we will not disturb those that are dead. The dead in Christ shall rise first. What I preach to you is the rapture. You say, well, why are you talking about rapture? God is saying, even if the rapture is not yet, he can keep you waiting till that time. That's what Jesus Christ is boasting of. You can call it boast. He's telling you whom he is. But what I preach to you is the rapture. Apostle Paul said, we that are alive, but he is gone right now. But if you think he's not coming your age, do you think you can wait like those two men? They follow Moses. They all followed Moses. But because of their mishaps in the wilderness, they all died in the wilderness. But these two men, Joshua and Caleb, they said they are, with their own heart, they followed the Lord God Almighty. And God said, okay, those two men will wait till the next generation. So they waited till the next generation and entered that land, that promised land, without dying at the age of 40, 50, 60, or that younger, other generation died before them. So God is saying that if he was able to keep, that's why Caleb was able to boast. 45 years later, say, Moses, when he sent us, he said, I was 40. Say, but I'm strong, and God has kept me alive. It's God that is keeping them alive. And that's what you're saying. It is God that is keeping us alive. He's going to keep you alive. If you want to walk with him, like we have said, take the step and say, Lord, I want to walk with you. Give me this faith to walk with you. And hear your words and keep your word and go away from this planet without seeing death. Whether the rapture is now or there is no rapture yet, I will say, Lord, if you're able to do it, I'm going to follow you. Talk to him yourself. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word. I thank you, Lord, for this word, Lord. Let you burn into the heart of all the people that are hearing it. And give them the understanding and give them the faith. Say, whosoever will, whosoever, it's what he said, whosoever, it's in the middle now. Whosoever, live it and believe it in me shall never die. Say, believe it thou this. You have to believe that utterance of yours. So, Father, help us to believe it. Help us to hold on to, help us to strive to enter, help us to press on. Apostle Paul said, I press on for the mark, for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you that are listening on the air and online, I just pray for all of you right now. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord God, this is the Jehovah himself, that has said he's able to do this, and he will do this for those who will keep his saying. I pray that the Lord will give you the understanding and give you the wisdom and give you this bold and the determination to want to pursue after him. So if you shall find me, and you shall seek me and find me. When you shall search for me with all of your heart, is what God wants to say. You will seek him and find him when you search for him with all of your heart. So I plead the blood of Jesus upon us right now, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus. Thou great high priest. Lord Jesus Christ said, the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. I enter into that veil of yours, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And pronounce through the, you have made us priests under you. I pronounce through the garment of Melchizedek right now that you have commanded in the name of Jesus Christ. That everyone that believes this saying, that believe this word, that the anointing will come, begin to lead them, and your word will begin to minister to them, and Lord Jesus Christ, you yourself will minister to them, and begin to reverse that aging process as they believe it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and reverse the aging process and remove all the sicknesses. You say, my great army that I sent among you, we brought those army from all of us in the name of Jesus Christ, because the word of God has been spoken, Lord, and the anointing that you said is go forth, you go forth. The Melchizedek priestly anointing is used to speak this word in the name of Jesus Christ. For you that are hearing and you that decide to follow this, to believe the word of God, so shall it be for you. The Lord can reverse that aging process for you and make you walk with him in the name of Jesus Christ. So shall it be in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise see the Lord. Praise see the Lord. Praise see the Lord. Praise see the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 By faith, Enoch never see death. By faith, Elijah never see death. By faith, I shall never see death. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, my body, praise the Lord.